of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency for 2023. My name is Tom Kakandis, I'm a member of the Board of Directors and the Chair of the Audit Committee and Treasurer for the organization. We don't need to do a Pledge of Allegiance or anything like that, so why don't we jump into it, Mr. DeGraff? I'm going to ask you to lead the discussion, if you would.
Sure. This is standard audit procedures, unless something's changed, but you're required to have a planning. As part of their planning, they're required to have a meeting with the audit committee for communication purposes, and then at the end of the audit, they'll also have a, you know, an exit interview type of meeting as well. This is Emily, Anna, and Vince from Teal Becker and Chiaramonte. There are external auditors. You guys know we also have internal auditors as well. This is different. They audit our financial statements, not as much into the internal controls or agreed upon procedures or anything like that. So I will turn it over to them.
So essentially what we'll be going over today is a high-level overview of the engagement letter that we'll need signed by the audit committee. And within that document, essentially, it's just outlining our scope of services, our responsibilities, management's responsibilities, the committee's responsibilities, and then we'll just discuss our timeline and any questions or concerns or anything like that that you may all have. So firstly, in the engagement letter, it's stating that what we're doing is auditing the December 31st, 2022 financial statements. So we'll issue an opinion on that. Tim does a great job. We, you know, typically don't have any issues or anything like that. But if anything does come up during the audit, we might issue a management letter, it's called. It's basically just any recommendations that we might have that might help you out. We also issue a couple of letters, one of which is more formal, which will go over any changes in accounting policies that were adopted by the agency, any major estimates, things that you should know about are in that letter that we'll review with you at the end as well. So that's what we're providing. As Tim mentioned, if there's any like additional things you want us to look into, we definitely can. We could even, you know, if it's more extensive, even do that. Not during audit time, you know, we're here for you throughout the year. So anytime you can reach out, it doesn't have to be just right now. So with the audit of the financial statements, we're forming an opinion about those financial statements and if they're fairly presented in accordance with GAAP. We've always had clean or unmodified opinions. Like I said, no major issues or anything like that. Also, Tim had mentioned with the internal controls of the agency, we definitely review everything. With that, we basically tailor our audit procedures based on those internal controls. You know, with your cash disbursements, cash receipts process, we have a whole documentation and narrative and understanding of how that works. And then that, in turn, helps us develop our audit testing. But we're not necessarily providing an opinion on those internal controls. That's more like the internal auditor, you know, what they're looking into. But if we did, you know, come up with any issues, we would definitely communicate that to you, and even some like recommendations we might have. But we typically have what's called a risk-based approach to our audit. So we're basically providing reasonable assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material error. But, as I said, if there's other things that come up that we feel you should be made aware of, we definitely will communicate that to you as well.
Just some clarification. The internal controls, per cycle, we do something called a walkthrough. So once we get a narrative of how something's working, she mentioned cash receipts, cash disbursements. It's usually like in a narrative format from Tim and his team, and we'll actually take a transaction from A to Z versus an internal auditor who may say, hey, for this quarter, we're going to test 50 checks or deposits and make sure all these different things. So it's exactly what she's saying, but just a little more clarity about you know, where the responsibility kind of stops versus the two different audits.
So,
Can I ask a question, or is it premature?
No, go ahead.
Who is our internal auditor?
Sickler, Torsha, Allen, and Churchill. We first engaged them back in 2014 and 2015 as a request from our board chair at the time, because there's a level of internal audit responsibility that the ABO requires, and we brought them back to do some audit work when all the compost stuff went down a year and a half ago.
Okay, so it's outsourced, and they're currently on retainer, and they currently provide that service to us?
Yeah, they actually just wrapped up a second report that was in draft form, and I'm just waiting for the final one to disperse to you guys.
Okay, thank you.
So also outlined in that engagement letter is management's responsibilities to design and implement those different controls. So preventing and detecting fraud is a big one. You know, that's management's responsibility to have those sound practices in place, and then the committee's responsibility to oversee that. And then us as a third party, we will notify you if anything like that were to come up, which we've never had any issues with any of the internal controls or any findings, any material adjustments, anything like that. So that's essentially what that is saying, but if there's any more specific questions on that letter, you can just let us know. There's a lot in there. Another thing we wanted to just go over was our projected audit timeline. So we actually did a lot of interim field work in December with Tim. We got a lot of our testing done that we'll complete this week. We're on site most of this week. And then once we complete that and work with Tim on the financial statements that he prepares, we will review the draft of those financial statements with the committee and go over the results, fluctuations, anything new, just an overview of that activity, and then any questions or anything like that we'll also be able to address at that time, and we'll have those final reports filed no later than the deadline of March 31st. And we're actually here a week early, so, you know, we're hoping just to get as much done as possible because that date does creep up pretty fast. So that's a very high-level overview from us, so we also wanted to see if, you know, there's any concerns you have, any questions on the process of the audit, anything at all that you might want us to take a look at. Feel free now, or even, like I said, email us, reach out anytime.
Just to,
let me ask another burning process question. Yeah. So in other boards I'm aware of, There was a letter sent out to all board members asking for such information. Will that happen for all our board members, or is it just the informal, as you mentioned a moment ago?
Was it like a fraud inquiry kind of question or any concern?
No, it was just a general, if you are aware of, it wasn't directed at anything. It was just a form letter that was received every year. Is that something that...
Yes, we will inquire, typically not in a formal letter. It could be an email, a phone call. We'll reach out and just inquire about that. So that's definitely part of our procedure, is to do that. And we inquire of Tim and Greg. So, and we'll do that all separately. Yep.
This is actually perfect timing for our meeting here today, because field work is just really kicking off. Usually, we've had these kind of November, December each year. The audit committee was intact for the same individuals. And then last year there was a change. This year, I know you guys had a change. So, you know, don't feel like it's late by any means. It wasn't intentional. It was just by the time we got, you know, the new faces in place and scheduled it, you know, it kind of meets our requirements. So the other thing, to Emily's point, with the 3/31 date, kind of behind the scenes, the last thing you guys need to do is worry about the weeds of how the audit gets to the different phases, but you know, all kidding aside, that date does creep up. So, you know, we're making changes that Tim has, just, you know, cosmetic things, and, you know, it's the big ACFR report that Tim handles, plus the financials, a lot of paperwork, a lot of pages, graphs, all that good stuff. So, you know, in the past, I think for a couple of years, the audit committee wanted us to meet with them before Tim passed this along and submitted it. Other years, it was a week or so after. Other years, it was the spring. COVID was, you know, has been in the mix. So, really, this is your guys' time now to figure out what's going to work best for you. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just, hey, file it. We'll meet when we have our next audit committee meeting, or we really like to get a special meeting, you know, the 30th, a phone call, a conference call to just walk us through it. You know, a few different ways to do it. The board and Tim sign a representation letter that kind of memorializes the approval and issuance. It's dated. That date follows our audit reports. So if that's in an email where everybody votes or there's a resolution, I mean, this might be a time to kind of revisit how things have been done in the past, and we'll, you know, schedule accordingly and, you know, come through on any demand that you guys have.
Are there any technical changes? Emily and I were talking about how the engagement letters now change, because I signed it originally back in November, but now the audit committee chair is required to sign it. Is there anything like that from a technical process that's changed this year from prior years besides that?
I don't think on your end, besides that one. Okay. There's just a lot with those charged with governance, who's engaging us, that kind of, you know, that's
okay.
The reason for that.
Some of these were kind of late changes, you know, us going to certified public education and webinars and best practices. So, you know, that might have been, we have an annual seminar that we do, all these conferences and tips and tricks. It's like, you know, little things here and there. But that's probably the biggest one you guys will see.
Right.
Compliance-wise from, hey, this is different than prior year.
Okay.
So the rep letter, we might add like a second signature for you and the audit committee chair, board chair, but just, you know, cosmetic, really.
I mean, and that stuff's interesting because, and it's not a knock to Tom, but reading that is like, he's not going to be familiar with a lot of the stuff in there.
Right, right.
Because he doesn't deal with it.
That's right.
So
maybe.
It's just funny, or, they make these changes, it's supposed to make it better, I understand it, but.
Yeah, what is the
signature
mean?
Yeah, right.
You're right. In the past, when we've had these meetings, there's been some things that came out of them, positive things about, hey, can you guys look into this or check into that, do some additional interviews in this area, things that to this day we've incorporated to future audits. So, you know, it might be now in this meeting, could be tomorrow, an email to Emily or myself or a call, however you guys want to do it. There could be nothing, but you guys might say, yeah, that, you know, I think a couple years ago it was pricing of fuel being charged.
But you guys remember Bottini had the issue and Charlie Landy, because they were having an issue with everybody around here. Charlie Landy wanted them to look into
a fuel surcharge.
No. Bottini was having that billing issue with their customers to where it was, they were doing some shady stuff. So he just wanted an extra attention paid because that's who was.
So you get caught, they straighten it out?
Supposedly.
What, the charges, anybody there? I mean, just curious.
They were, I think it was it double credits, I think they were putting on accounts.
Oh.
And they were taking the money back themselves. That was for double
fuel,
billing.
Fuel for the trucks or just oil for the building?
They were doing that generally for customers, mostly relative to home fuel oil.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought it was, you know.
There was a substantial news story in the regional papers.
Yeah.
So because of that, Charlie Laney just wanted us to look at it a little closer. And I would actually encourage you to if you have questions on things you want them to look at, I actually encourage you to go around me and go directly to them.
Yep.
Because it's a much more honest approach.
You know, it could be stuff, you know, general accounting, auditing, dollars and cents, but there could be some one-offs of, you know, locally or things you guys talk about behind closed doors as a board, as a committee. You know, one year could be more than others. So, yeah, that's why we're here. While we're doing the field work, if something comes up, we can plan accordingly and integrate, you know, a couple hour test type thing and report on it in a management letter, you know, that kind of stuff.
I mean, in terms of year to year, I'm the only member who was part of the audit committee last year, and I remember the fuel issue, Charlie bringing that up. I was, you know, justified and reasonable. I'm trying to think in terms of 2022 operations, the only similar extraordinary circumstance I don't think really hit our books in such a pure financial way, which was that we did an extraordinary amount of brush grinding on behalf of the towns. But I'm trying to think how that would hit the financial statements in a way that is worth reviewing.
It's not going to be material.
It was really just time on the machine and
some extra revenue.
We had extra revenue and we had a little bit of extra expense and time on the machine.
Which off, I bring, off, I do break site. Out. Yep.
Right. So you weren't here then. You were living nearby, but not responsible as you are now. And same with Donna. So functionally, a bunch of the towns, when we had the ice storm last February, had piles and piles of brush and amounted to several hundred tons of additional brush grinding that we did. In the course of the year's operations, that's really kind of the only extraordinary item. I just don't think it really connects back to the financials.
The grinder repair. The grinder repair was substantial, actually.
Right.
Now, it's not, it wasn't specific to the ice storm.
Right, but it's a function of hours.
Correct. In a very linear way. Wear and tear, something finally happened because it's an 05, and right in the middle of when we're grinding huge piles, of course, is when when it busts up. So, and that was a substantial repair.
What would you say, Tim, the sticker price on that repair was, just a ballpark?
It was, I think the biggest bill was $129,000. There were a couple other parts bills that floated here and there, a backup pump we ended up getting. So we approved the $140,000 for the repairs. So it probably came in pretty darn close to that when all was said and done. But it was a repair. It wasn't like a refurbish. You'll see, too, when you look at I actually put a refurbished machine. I got rid of the original purchase, and because it was a complete overhaul of it, I actually put it back on and started depreciation again this year on a refurbished excavator.
Okay.
Which is, of course, separate from the grinding and the brush.
Right. So to your point, we'll think about whether there's anything else that we would ask y'all as auditors to address, but that's the only thing that I can think of at this time.
Okay. That's good to know, just for analytic purposes. You know, does this fluctuation make sense? Like, for example, the repair. You know, so it's good to know that information.
So far, no ice storms this year. One chunk of cold. Let's see. So, I know this is November 10th. It doesn't specifically list the treasurer or the audit chair as the signatory authority. Is that something that we just add by title?
That's okay. You can add the title there.
Okay. And that's the exclusive signature required.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Is that something you need signed today? Because I'll just take a little time offline, separate from our discussion, to re-review.
It doesn't have to be today. I mean, preferably this week, just because we are starting the field work. It's a little wonky this year, so. But it doesn't have to be today.
Okay. Well, not necessarily a big deal. I just want to separate whatever level of attention to running a meeting from reviewing something that gets signed that's of consequence. Donna, do you have any other questions at this point?
No, I'm good. No, I'm good. Thank you.
Mr. Giorsi?
No, no, sir.
Okay.
Do you want me to send you guys out their contact information, too, in case you do want to get in touch with them? Probably makes
That's
sense.
That's appropriate, yeah. Tim. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, in essence, the main thing that we would need to schedule is a review with the audit committee, and I'll consult with the other committee members and we'll advise you subsequent to this meeting, but my expectation is that we would do that within a week prior to the filing date.
Okay.
If we could, so our regular board meeting would be scheduled for March 23rd. So if we could work that out, you know, like the hour, mm-hmm. you know how we're doing the governance an hour before? If we can maybe work that out, I don't know if you guys are available March 23rd.
Okay.
Before that board meeting, that should work, hopefully.
Yeah.
Tentatively.
Well, it certainly helps with scheduled time when we have at least the three board members in one place. So that's good. Thank you for that suggestion, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Check and then formally schedule that through the staff and let the staff be in touch with you about the final timing. And I don't know that we need to do that in person particularly.
Well, I figured...
No, I mean, we'd be in person side. But
then,
we don't need to drag y'all down from Albany necessarily.
No, this situation was... It's trying to log me in as Angie because she usually runs the meeting, so I didn't know her password.
Okay, yeah.
That was the issue I ran into.
In the future, I'd suggest we just do it as a Teams meeting. That's going to probably be the easier one.
Yeah.
Which we're working on fixing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so we can set up a Teams meeting with you. We can record within our Teams system.
And you guys work in Teams too, right?
We do.
We're just talking about, yeah, okay.
All right. So for some reason we screw up. You can record the meeting, send us a copy of the recording, but we don't, in the interest of net carbon intensity, we won't make y'all drive an hour for something we can talk about on computer screens.
Thank you.
And otherwise... So we actually have emails in this memo. You're more thorough already than you planned, maybe.
All right. I can't take credit for that.
No big deal. Maybe you'll just put your phone number there for me, and then we're covered that way. Not hearing any other questions, not hearing any questions from the auditors. I think that's the main purpose of the formal meeting, so I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor of adjourning the audit committee meeting, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. And we thank you all for your time and your work done and to come.
Thank you. Thanks, Donna.
Thank you.